I want to welcome you very much. This will be a very practical lecture on some aspects of the art of transformation. I think you will take a lot for your practical life with you. Let us just start with singing a little bit our nice kirtan. I'm just thinking, should we give a microphone to you? You have. No. Gokul. Ach so, da kommt jetzt noch. Ich sehe, Jai Gopal bringt schon. Wie bitte? Oh ja, danke. Should we go Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What is it? Namo. Please, everyone. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Utale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyane Satani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare My dear devotees, if you wish to be transformed by the chanting, let me suggest something to you. Just like you take a cloth and bring it into water and then it becomes really full of water, you can bring your mind into the mantra and then the mantra is in the mind. It's no longer a normal mind. It's a mantra mind. So how do you do this? First, you start with Shravanam. As you chant, you just listen to every syllable of the mantra. You let, so to say, the mantra pervade your consciousness. It's not any longer outside, but it's inside. This is the most simple method. More advanced methods will soon follow. So please, as you chant now, collect your mind from wherever it is and just let the mantra pervade it. Chant now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, but a little louder. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare And in the next mantra, you let the sound of the holy name just pour into your consciousness. Yes? Like a golden stream, it goes through the ear holes and then enters the consciousness. And you will see there is a profound difference to your first chanting and the chanting which you do now. Please sing very soon or now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Yeah. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, everybody sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. One more time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To conclude, please let us all sing again. And remember, Prabhupada, he once said, we should receive the mantra through proper oral reception, through the channel of the hearing. And you can see that the mantra then will arrive at the shore of your consciousness, and from there, almost like a transcendental army of angels, you know, we want no militaristic spirit here, it will conquer your consciousness and spread through all the areas of your awareness. So one more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for engaging in singing and being ready to absorb yourself in the singing. Anadi Radha, you might like to sit there. Oh, thank you, thank you. Eine Bharati gelandet.
Ja, genau.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. This garland has one signature. If you look very carefully, Bharati, it says on it. Thank you. In my approach to the subject matter of transforming the consciousness, I'd like to add to what His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj shares with us, and His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj, what he shares with us. I like to add as much as possible some practical exercises so that you can see how transformation can take place within the now, so to say, within your present experience. And then with little steps of transformational experiences, and I'm speaking of very small insights here, you can, by the law of increment, you know, it builds up, work on the big transformation of your life. A journey starts with a step out of the house, really. And today I want to introduce to you a method called Pratipaksha Bhava. It is found both in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali as well as in the Mahabharata. I think you will be quite challenged, or not challenged. It's very simple but extremely efficient. But before I start, I need to say, for transformation of one thing into another, so that it can take place, you need a so-called transformative agent. I don't know whether this is an established word or whether this is my own word. You need something that brings one state of being into the other. For instance, this book, Looking for Meaning Under the Carpet, that's the title of this book, is now here. If I want to bring it higher, on a different level, the level with my notebooks, I will need some force that brings it there, no? I will have to use either my hand or a very strong storm, or maybe a tsunami-like earthquake, or something that will bring it from one state to the other. And to really experience transformation in your life, you need similarly some transformative agents. I liked very much His Holiness Keshava Maharaj's approach to transformation. He said, don't always look for progress. Don't always look for perfection and become discouraged. Just appreciate the progress which you have made already. No? In other words, don't look at how far you still have to go, but look how far you have already gone. And I feel this is very important, this mood, in order to give us hope and encouragement, some favorable thoughts or attitudes, so that we can really transform. I think the main issue which a devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement, but also other people, face when they look at transformation is the shifting states of consciousness, that is at one time we may be in a heightened state, an elevated state of consciousness, but then we come back to the old thing. It's very nicely expressed in Dhritarashtra's own words. He expresses them a few times, this problem in the Mahabharata. He says to Krishna, "I can see as you talk to me, it's like a sudden flash in the darkness. But when you stop talking to me, then again I'm engulfed and surrounded by darkness." This phenomena happens also later in the Mahabharata, just before the outbreak of the war. At that time, Vidura makes a last attempt to enlighten Dhritarashtra, to tell him, "You are on the wrong side. You cannot win. How can you hope by supporting Duryodhana, who's not supported, who only has adharma, sin and irreligion on his side? How can you hope to win against the Pandavas who have Krishna, the origin of dharma, on his side? This, come on, brother, don't make this fatal mistake of thinking." And then, knowing well that his words will maybe not be strong enough for Dhritarashtra, he calls a saint. His name starts with S, by his devotional powers, into the room. It's night, and the saint comes through the window. It's a big palatial window, not like these windows who only, you know, go half up the wall. They go completely up, and the saint comes in an effulgent way through the open space of the window and starts to talk about the science of the soul, the eternal soul, which should not engage in activities that bring about bad karma and suffering to it on its journey. And again, the same thing happens. For a brief moment, the Dhritarashtra is quite enlightened, but after the saint goes, he falls back into his usual habit of thought, which is he loves just Duryodhana, his son, and wants to support him. He's too much bound by material attachment. Why is this so? Why do we have the same? When we come to a program like the Swiss summer camp and we participate in some of the programs, and something, a sudden insight enlightens our soul. But then when we come back to our place where we live, maybe for 2 days we can stop looking at Netflix, but then the third day, and there everything is there, violence, and all those impressions which we know are not always very helpful to our spiritual life. How is it that there is a sudden enlightenment and then again we fall back into the same old night from where we are coming? My dear devotees, this is due to sanskaras, or deeply ingrained habits. Neuroscience tells you that whenever you do things for repeatedly, you engage in the same neural pathways, and as you engage in them, they become deeper ingrained in the jungle, so to say, of your mind, and they become paths which you again and again feel tempted to walk, because it seems to be the easiest way to lead your life. The way neuroscience expresses it is when neurons fire together, they are used together, that means same areas of our cognitive functions, they wire together. They build networks, and although you may not like them any longer, you may think this is not useful for me, this habit or this behavior, you are almost forced, you're pulled back into them. So therefore, you may come from the summer camp or from any spiritual experience, or you may even see in Netflix something where you think, wow, now I'm serious for Krishna consciousness. I can see it, what the author wanted to say. But then the old sanskaras begin to move again and attract your mental energy and your habits. It's therefore, in India they say it's easier to just push the Himalayas for 1 meter to the left side than to change a habit. It's easier because you are finished. So what you can do is you can create new sanskaras so that the mental energy which used to go left will now go into the new sanskara which you have created, the new impression in your mind, and the mental energy goes right. I'm just speaking in allegorical language. It's very important that you do create these new thought patterns. Now, Narada Muni in the Mahabharata gives us one idea how to do it. He says, when we are attracted to sense gratification, what we do is we don't think at the moment when we are having to make a choice of the pleasure which the sense gratification will give us, but we think of what it will bring in the future, which may be disadvantageous for us. For instance, today I had a marzipan, brombeer, cherry, coconut cream, vegan cake. And I like marzipan, brombeer, what else? Cherry, vegan cake. I really like it. It's a childhood dream of myself to eat good, substantial cake. But as I was I didn't have the whole cake. I had a parcel of the cake. The rest was, I think, going to Jai Gopal or other members. So I knew if I like to eat the whole thing. I also have the capacity. I'm a Hare Krishna. I have a tremendous eating capacity. But I knew if I would finish the whole thing, I would most probably become lame and dull and immovable in the evening. So I was thinking, now I was practicing putting my mind into another gear. I did not think of the momentary pleasure which the cake would give me as it would pass over my tongue. I was thinking of the evening where I would suffer from the consequence. And I have done this many times. I eat now half of what I ate when I was young per meal because I have cultivated these thoughts. Now to go a little bit more into it, I want to tell you how Patanjali expresses it. He says, when we find out that we are harassed by negative thoughts, one should cultivate counteracting thoughts. This thought pattern, this new thought pattern, is called... can I have your mobile microphone, please? And can you help an old man? Sorry, I have something with my knees at the moment. One moment. See, this is what old age means, and one day you will be like this. Sorry, I did. Legs have fallen asleep. Good, thank you. This is called in Sanskrit, it's a very important word for us here. Prati Paksha Baba. Or in English, opposite thinking. It will become very clear because we will make some exercises. This Pratipaksha Bhava has to be used when you come, for instance, in contact with negative thoughts like violence. At that time, you think of the ongoing suffering and ignorance which is created through violence. Vyasadev makes a very interesting comment. He says, when you see your citta becoming influenced by negative or counterproductive thoughts, when your consciousness is invaded by them, they are called vitakas, these thoughts, you think like this, I'm burning in the fire of this world, and I have taken shelter in sadhana, spiritual practice, by committing myself to the welfare of all creatures. So I have already renounced thoughts of violence, but now there is the thought of revenge, someone who attacked me, I want to give it back to him in the same coin. No? So if I again resort or go back to these thoughts, I am behaving, listen to this, like a dog who licks his vomit. This is of course a very strong opposite thought. No? Here's someone who thinks a violent thought about someone. Oh, he's really too much. Look how he is dressed. Look at his haircut. Look how he comes across, and so on. And the moment you feel yourself, you feel such a thing, you say, no, no, I've taken to the spiritual path to be compassionate, to be non-judgmental. Now if I go back to these old thoughts, it's really not good. And a strong image is used, the image of a canine, what is it, a dog who licks something which he has already given up. So the more you start to discipline your mind by bringing it to an opposite thought, you can stop the negative thought pattern, you can eliminate it by the mind. No, I think deep inside, we, for instance, I want to now bring this in the frame of our sadhana chanting. Deep inside, we all want to be ecstatic. We all want to chant. We all desire the special blessings which come from good chanting. We want also to purify the mirror of our heart. We want to extinguish the miseries of material existence. We want to awaken our spiritual desires. But if we don't learn to practice opposite thinking at the time when we are lazy, when we are unmotivated, when we are in the superficial level of rejecting that what we know brings us where we want to go, then we can never get there. I took part in a japa meditation japa workshop of God Brother Mahatma. I wanted to see what does he do. And he worked with affirmation, and I thought, oh no, affirmation, this ego inflation practice, this is not what I do. I'm a strict philosopher. But I just tried what he wanted, what he said. He said, I just say to yourself before you sit down, I want to chant. I'm so fortunate that I have the holy name. And now I get to chant. I'm so fortunate I have the time now, the opportunity to chant. And finally, I love to chant. I'm so fortunate that I love to chant. And, you know, yes, on one level, it's a mental game. You use one thought to go against another thought. But it is authorized in our scriptures. Even the Bhagavatam has something in the seventh canto on this. There's a series of things that, for instance, when you are covered with lusty thoughts, then, oh my God, I wish to remember this at this moment. How was it? Keshava Maharaj, are you with us? Do you remember seventh canto? There was is a list. I bring it to you tomorrow. What you think when you have one thought to oppose it, and so on. It's an authorized process. It's called removing a thorn by another thorn. In other words, removing an not so good image in the mind. With a mental attitude which is there. But then it says, it gives prescription how to deal with lust and greed and so on. It's always about thinking the negative outcome which greed and anger bring about. And then it says one can obtain all this by serving one spiritual master. This is then the more spiritual approach. And don't worry, I will come to these more spiritual things. But I want to start where many of us are, who can see an immediate benefit by doing these counteracting thought. One very powerful counteracting thought which is recommended is showing gratitude. And I have entitled this subject the sadhana of thank you, what I will tell you now, because this is something which Krishna himself teaches. If you learn to express gratitude, I think we should not just say thank you, we should express it properly, but I will come to this. Something changes in your inner mind. In Ramayana, the sage Valmiki says that expressing gratitude is actually a limb of Sanatan Dharma. I didn't know this. He says, Kritya Parikatavyam Esha Dharma Sanatana. One should acknowledge a favor and try to pay it back. This is Sanatan Dharma. So when something good was done to you, acknowledge it. You have done this. You have brought me water or a bharati garland and so on. And try to give it back. This is Sanatana Dharma. Krishna himself is eternally grateful. Gratitude, to show gratitude, in other words, is such an important point of eternal Dharma that God himself adorns it as one of his eternal qualities. You all know from Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami's list of 64 qualities of Krishna, and one of them is he's Krita Gya, or grateful. This is Rupa Goswami's definition of a grateful person. Krita Gya Syat Abhignyo Ya Krita Sevadi Karamanam. A grateful person is he who fully acknowledges the services and favors that others have performed for him. And he gives an example of Krishna being grateful to Draupadi. Krishna says, "My heart feels increasingly indebted by a debt that does not seem to go away. This is the debt of gratitude which I accrued when Draupadi loudly cried out to me, even though I was situated far away in Dwaraka." The Shastras inform us that Krishna was playing dice at the moment where Draupadi was lost in a game of dice. And he started to lose. He played against Rukmini, and Rukmini knew Krishna never loses. Even if he makes a wrong throw, the dice are usually on his side, and then they turn over in Krishna's favor. So she noticed something very inauspicious is happening and said, "You're losing, my lord. Is there something wrong?" "Yes," said Krishna, "there's something very wrong. At this moment, my devotee Draupadi is brought into the assembly hall where an attempt will be made to disrobe her." "Oh," said Rukmini, "then quickly go there." Krishna said, "I won't reach in time." "Well," said Rukmini, "aren't you already there as the Paramatma in all hearts?" "It's not that simple," said Krishna. So Krishna continued to play. Rukmini said, you continue to play." "Yes, there's nothing I can do," said Krishna. Then all of a sudden, in a distraught game of dice, Krishna says, "Now I can go. Draupadi has built a road for me, the road of her tears." This was exactly the moment when Draupadi did this classical gesture of surrendering herself to Krishna and calling loudly the various names of Krishna. Govinda,
Govinda,
Mukunda,
Mukunda,
Janardana,
Janardana,
and cried. And at that moment, Krishna was going, because he felt a debt of gratitude. And even after this, after he had saved Draupadi, Krishna did not forget about this calling of Draupadi. He said, "This is daily going, becoming greater and greater and greater in my heart, and I must do something. I would like, before I guide you into some exercises and going a little deeper even in this subject, tell you a little bit about the lost culture of gratitude. There is a social theory at the moment in this world. It's the theory of individualism, which means the interest of the individual ranges supreme over over other interests. No? It's the me culture, me first. It must be all right for me. It must be good for me. But the Vedic tradition feels, no, we are indebted. We have debts of gratitude to pay. And in order to relieve ourselves of them, we have to perform 5 yagyas daily. Listen to this. This is Vedic culture. Don't worry, I will not tell you to do 5 yagyas daily. But I just wish you to explore another mindset, another perspective on reality, which is radically opposed to this modern view of seeing. First of all, you are supposed to be grateful that you have taken birth. It's birthday is when I get my presents. What does this have to do with anything spiritual? No, you are supposed to acknowledge, wow, I was once a bodiless soul drifting around. I've taken birth. And in order relieve yourself of this debt which you have, you think, who have I taken birth with? My father and my mother. But who was their father and their mother? And their father and their mother? My mother and my father would not have taken birth, wouldn't have given me birth if they would not have taken birth. So in other words, you go to the Pitris and perform a Pitri Yagya. You offer regular offerings to your forefathers. Then there is the Deva Yagya. You have bodily functions. Just now when I got up and I needed some help, my legs were not working. In the Vedic worldview, you understand the legs are taken care of by one particular devata. Or evacuation, going to the bathroom and so on. All your limbs are directed by the devatas. So you daily worship the different demigods so that your bodily functions will continue nicely. Then you receive so much wisdom, my dear devotees. So much wisdom. This is, you have to be grateful to the rishis, to the saints in the past who saw this wisdom by divine vision and who put it down. So in Vedic culture, you would do a rishi yagya every day. Then you are not alone on this planet. You are interconnected. You are with so many other living entities. Do you know how many people were busy in putting the meal on your table? The farmers who brought the vegetables, the seed of the vegetables on the farm, the transporters, the cows, most of you drink cow milk, who gave you cow milk. And you have a connection to all of these. So therefore you do the Atithi Yagya. You welcome the guests in your home, just as a sign that I care for all these unknown people, especially the Atithi, the ones who are not coming with a visit list. You have not invited them. And then in this way, I think you get the idea. You realize you are not alone on this planet. You are in a vast network, and you have to pay back by these yagyas. When someone doesn't perform these yagyas in the Vedic idea, he accrues a tremendous debt of karma. In my first television speech in this life, first program, VDR, was it VDR or ZDF? I don't remember. But it was even my Oma, my grandmother saw me, and she said, "Why do you always have to provoke people?" I read this. Data apradadyay bhyo yo bhunktistena eva saha. He who lives ungratefully without performing yajñas is certainly a thief. This is in the Bhagavad Gita 3.12. If you don't show gratitude, first of all, if you don't have any consciousness that you should be, or awareness that you should be grateful, and then if you cannot show this, what will be your life? For instance, if you don't show gratitude to your parents, my dear devotees, what is the guarantee that you get good parents in another life? If you don't show gratitude to your guru or the people who have given you wisdom, why should you be gifted with a bona fide guru in your next life? It is said in the 11th canto, 11.5.41, that you don't have to make the culture of expressing gratitude so complicated. It is said all types of living entities are parts of Lord Krishna, and by serving Krishna, you don't need to serve the Pitris, your ancestors, the Devas, the Rishis, the unannounced guests and the Buddhas separately. No? But if you serve Krishna, you know this from the Bhagavatam, 5th canto also, you give water to the root of the tree and all the branches, twigs and leaves are certainly watered. But you have to show gratitude. I want to speak about this we already know, and we go, oh yeah, ein Glück, I'm so fortunate, I don't have to make my life more complicated. But there is one indebtedness which I personally have come to believe you can't avoid. It's the great indebtedness towards your parents. See, Krishna expresses the need to be grateful of the need of each and every single individual to be grateful to his parents in these words in the Bhagavatam. Sarvata sambhavo deho janita poshito yata natayo yati nirvesham pitro martya shatayusha. With this body, Krishna says, one can acquire all the goals of life. No? With this body, I can eat if my goal is sensual delights. I can also pursue dharma. I can inquire about my dharma and do my dharma. I can, with this body, do sanatan dharma and please Lord Krishna and so on. So with one's body, one can acquire all the goals of life. And it is one's parents who give the body birth and nourishment also. You see our highly concentrated Leela Shravanti, Leela Lega Shravanti, she has a baby and a mobile telephone. But see the baby, this lying on her, and she will know how to, she has given birth to the baby. I heard her husband was phoning me, now is an important time, can you please pray? And I did my best, and she takes so much care of the baby. The baby is practically always with you, I think, isn't it? Always the Jaini Thai. And she will take care of his nourishment. She will feed the baby with just the right things the baby needs. And Krishna continues, For this, therefore, no mortal man can repay his debts to his parents, even if he served them for a full lifetime of 100 years. This gratitude towards one's parents has to be acknowledged first of all. Kritagya, you have to, and then you have to express it in some practical actions. It's very, very important. You will hear in a moment why it is so important. So again, what is gratitude? The Sanskrit term is kritagyata, which literally means acknowledgement of what has been done for us. You are aware enough, you are conscious enough, you are not foggy brained, you are clear brained, and you can acknowledge, oh yeah, I see that, I see this. If my parents would not have been there, and if they wouldn't have felt so much the calling to bring a family into this world, then where would I be? Oh, and furthermore, if my parents would not have fed me and protected me in all possible ways, how could I have this human form of life in which I can pursue dharma, artha, karma, moksha, and also the fifth goal of life, the desire to develop prema. So a grateful person is therefore known as kritagya, literally, or a favor acknowledger. Favor means krita, and acknowledger means gya. He knows this was done for me. This was very nice. On the other hand, my dear devotees, an ungrateful person is called in Sanskrit kritagna, with G, not with J. Krita, yes, this is a favor, and gna, like knowing, is an acknowledger of a favor, and the opposite is called a krita, gna, with G. Such a person is a mindless fool. An ungrateful person who destroys, actually, gna means to destroy, the acknowledgement of what has been done for him or her. The person goes actually against it and says, no, my father is an old Nazi. He had totally authoritarian educational methods. He spoiled me, and now I have to liberate myself from the bad things my father did to me. This is called a krita gna, someone who destroys the acknowledgement of what has been done for him or her. Prabhus, Matajis, we don't speak about educational methods here. We don't speak about childhood trauma, which has maybe also come together with the good things. We just speak about this one fact. We have received the body and we have been nourished by them. There is in the Ramayana a very interesting statement, and it will be the last for today before I go into an exercise with you. There are atonements, says the Ramayana, suggested in scriptures for a person who kills a brahmana. I killed a brahmana. I must make an atonement. There are atonements for a person who drinks alcohol. Oh no, I was drinking alcohol. Missed. but I will make an atonement. There are atonements for one who steals wealth or who willingly breaks a vow. You can do good. You can write this again. However, there is no atonement anywhere for someone who is ungrateful. Wow! Ramayan. We quote Ramayan. Sakrit Eva Prapanayas. We think it's an authorized scripture. So we might as well look at on this, no? So what you do is with this idea of pratipaksha bhava or opposite thinking is you try to go to the place of gratitude, a place where the negative thoughts, which are in this case we talk about ungratefulness, or what is it called? Ungrateful, yeah, being ungrateful, is replaced with gratefulness. And you will see that especially Teacher Payne has so many gifts for you, so many deeper understandings. In many cases, it has the powerful, almost explosive teaching of detachment from the world, which is so difficult for us to have. I know we had a very nice devotee in our zone. He was the leader of the zone. Something happened to him, but he was very nice engaged and a very nice character. Then something medical happened to him. And he describes how Srila Prabhupada was very stern with him, and he sent him to the east, what is it called? Please help me. East Germany, East Russia, over the Iron Curtain, thank you. Sorry? He sent him over the Iron Curtain to a place, and he asked him to print books, and he did this with he didn't want to go there. My dear devotees, going to the Iron Curtain countries, that was so discouraging. There was nothing to eat. Literally, we had almonds and yogurt for 1 month. You always had to run away from the police who followed your programs. And in the end, you needed to cross the country, the border with Vicks, and you needed to hide yourself so much and then do these preaching programs. And it was tough, sleeping in vans in the winter and being really like on the chase. I remember running for 3 weeks away from the secret police of Hungary, and then they caught me at the end. Hare Krishna, all this anxiety and so on. But he was leading these programs, and once he came back to Prabhupada with a pile of books which he had printed in various languages, Eastern language, you know, Iron Curtain languages and so on. And there was a moving exchange. I've seen photos of the exchange. Prabhupada looks at him and is so happy, and he says, "Do you now understand why I sent you to these difficult places?" And this devotee broke down crying and said, "Yes, I understand. you by giving me this order, you have made me into what I am now, that I can serve, that I have surrendered, and so on. So, yes, I want to see with you, I want to ask you, if you can maybe isolate a thing in your life, an event in your life, where you first thought, oh, this is not good. And then by applying this Pratipakshabhava, or opposite thinking, come to the platform of Kritagya, or an acknowledging a hidden or covered favor that was given to you. I request you to turn to your neighbor, and yes, I'm sorry, I know some of us are in the digesting mode and would like to be entertained, but not in this class. Later, yes, some entertainment will follow. Please find, yes, do you understand the method? You have to, you have to identify a situation which was difficult for you, and instead of lamenting and saying, oh, this was really not good, you go to the place where you try to not lament, but be thankful. There are some things where we can't be thankful, no? When we lose our leg, for instance, it may be difficult. Everyone has a leg on. is it clear? Opposite thinking. It's a new thought. I know. You have to go to the opposite thing and see if it will work. I know you have never done it. It's the first time, but it's a sadhana. Sorry. Pamus, you can continue discussing this when you are outside of the classroom, so to say, or of the lecture hall. Haribol, Mangala, I see you. Like Radha Kriva, talking with the hands. Yes, so my dear devotees, this was a difficult exercise. There are easier exercises. I want to again read to you, because the Yoga Sutras explain so clearly what we find in the Mahabharata and Bhagavatam. I want to read you again the method. Upon being harassed by negative thoughts, one should cultivate counteracting thoughts. For instance, negative thoughts are here related to violence, or we could also say fear is a negative thought, no? Anxiety, disappointment. When you have these thoughts, you lose so much of your strength, my dear devotees. There are examples of this. For instance, they made one person angry for 1 hour and then asked him to what is this English word when you do like this? Breathe out, or yeah, you know what this is. Yes. So they took this condensed air and fed it to a guinea pig, and they were killing. They had enough poison from this to kill 99 guinea pigs. I don't like animal experiments, just like you, but to think when you have a negative thought like anger, you will let it out and harm and pay back the other person who made you angry. to think like this is as ignorant as thinking that by drinking a glass of poison, the other person will suffer. You cannot allow these negative thoughts in your mind. They weaken you. And therefore it is said, negative thoughts can be slight in intensity, moderate or extreme in intensity. One should cultivate counteracting thoughts, namely thoughts that the end result of these negative thoughts are ongoing suffering and ignorance. When you eliminate your negative thoughts, in other words, you transform them into other type of thoughts like gratitude or compassionate thought, sattvic thoughts, then you will eliminate weakness in you, and you will, receive certain strengths and gifts in you. That's why you see great devotees, they don't allow themselves to be put down by being under the clouds, so to say, with their thoughts. No, they think, okay, I'm now maybe a little in anxiety. Will I be successful in my effort? They will think, let me exchange this anxiety with the thought, Krishna is in control in my life. And at that moment, they lose the anxiety, the fear, and so on, because they have given themselves into the hands of Krishna. Thank you very much. This was the first part. I hope it's a practical thing. If you wish to read more about these things, I can highly recommend to you the second chapter of Patanjali Yoga Sutras, verses 33 to verses 34. And tomorrow I will provide you with some examples from the Bhagavatam about exchanging one type of thought, negative thought that weakens you, with a positive thought. Today we were dealing a little bit with gratefulness, with gratitude. I personally did this when I came up to Kiental. I must admit to you, I'm very, very physically and mentally exhausted after the most intense tour I've ever done in this lifetime. America, Italy, Austria, everywhere, and full program everywhere. So I came up with the car. I thought, the mountains limit me. I'm a man of the oceans, of freedom. And I will take part in I will take part in good discussions. But then so many devotees will tell me how they have divorced and how this problem is there and that problem, and I was really almost saying to my driver, let's turn around. But then I thought, no, this is a negative thought. This is a weak thought. Let me transform it by thinking, wow, I will see deities. I will see Jayadvaita Maharaj. I will see Keshava Maharaj. I will see all the devotees. And I will have maybe an opportunity to do service, to bring some light in their lives by some good, helpful tips from the Vedic wisdom texts and so on. And with this opposite thinking, I gained strength and I felt I'm at the best place in the universe right now in the Swiss mountains. Hare Krishna. Opposite thinking, very important. It's a small little point, but there's a deep, deep, deep philosophy behind it. If you don't learn the transformation of the small steps, you will never arrive at the big transformation of the heart. And this is a very small step. It is something which will give immediately palpable result. Palpable heißt fühlbare Ergebnisse. And why is it so powerful? Because you create new sankskaras by this. If you like to express it in a neuro language, you create a new neural path in here. This is called neuroplasticity. It means you have the opportunity. You're not a slave of your gray mass up there, but you have the opportunity to create new patterns of thought and of habits and so on. And you can do this really easy. It all starts in the mind with this Pratipaksha Bhavana. Yes? I think it's so clear that we don't require questions. Let us... you're laughing so nicely. No, it's just clear. I want to just... we have 10 minutes to 6. Maybe we should go into some 10 minutes of questions and then a little 10 minutes of kirtan. Here is Jai Gopal.
You spoke about great urgency to be grateful towards parents, and you also mentioned that it it's not considering educational raising issues or traumatic
experiences,
emotional hurt. But when I look into this, there are some things which kind of block us to be have developed this feeling of gratefulness due to maybe some things which happened which hurt us. Maybe you could say something to that. It's also that maybe the relationships have distanced a bit due to this. Is this gratitude also you can do something for distance or in, maybe.
Thank you very much. The reason why gratitude is given, or let us say, the place where gratitude is focused, is on this point of they have given birth to me. They have given me a body which is during this present time the possibility of all my opportunity. I mean the foundation of all my opportunities. You can play Madanga with the body received from family Volta. And you can pursue your sadhana with this body and the mind which you have received. Now, yes, there are a few other things which came along. Let me just tell it to, let me give a personal example. I was so much a revolutionary in my family. I had such a difficult relationship with my father. And there are some scenes between me and my father which were very, very bad, really. From his side towards me and from my side towards him. I do not wish to make this public. It was really bad. I mean, if you would hear it, it was really bad. And I always remembered that more than anything else. Up to to my 50th birthday, around that time. Then my parents had visited me, a dutiful family visit, I was with my I had to take care of my parents. They are old parents in some culture. So I thought, let us listen to an opera. So we went to an opera, and on the way, I tried to tell. My father said, "So your thinking is different in many ways from ours. What do you think about the value of the performing arts?" And I started then to explain. I was little. Well, Father, there are art forms that have elevating effect that is called sattvic, and I take you to a Bach. It was not an opera, it was organ music. You know, we go to a Bach concert now. Bach is a very religious, that is very sattvic. But then there are art forms which have, and immediately my father interrupted me. And he began to talk his things. He knows much more than I will ever know about culture and so on. And I thought to me, oh no, there he is again. The authoritarian know-it-all, you know. And he has just asked me about my thinking. I'm trying to go through the heavy work to educate my father about my thinking. And what does he do? He cuts me in the midst of the sentence. I have not even finished my thought. And he's always like this. When I was young, he gave me a beating. He pulled my pants down and he took a stick and beat me on the popo. And now this, he has not changed a bit. This was physical beating, now he does intellectual beating. You know. Then I thought, wait a minute. He follows a certain thought pattern. He cannot get out of it so easy. He thinks fathers are meant to educate their children in whatever state they are. He means well. Wait a minute, hold yourself. And something changed in the energy. I cannot explain to you. When I was ready to do my Pratibhaksha Bhavana, thinking in the opposite way, he stopped and said, oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you, isn't it? You didn't tell me your thought on the performing arts. Please continue. I said, really? I don't think you are interested in. I am interested. So he could listen to me 10 minutes. That's a world record. And so on. This is this is very powerful. To change negative thoughts will bring suffering to you and to the others. Sattvic thoughts, which it's not positive thinking, it is opposite thinking, no? That will bring you opposite means away from tamasic and rajasic thought to more enlightened or wise thoughts. That helped. I mean, he's very submissive. 15 minutes. He says something is changing, and we enjoy a very nice discussion platform now. Very rare, though, but once a year, but better than before. That there was 10 years of silence from my side and his side, because we really went opposite ways. So, yes, you may still remember there are some things which are not so positive which came with your parents, but we are now talking about something else, and we talk about the harm which you inflict upon yourself and the other people by negative thinking. Does anyone else of you wish to pose a question? Yes, I saw just Gaurahari just next to you. Yes, Gaurahari. It will be the last question for today, but yes.
I was thinking that very often those thoughts
And very often we are creating negative thoughts just by habit, and we are not able actually to catch it on the right time to make the change. Do you have any advice on how to become more aware of the thoughts that we have?
It's a practice. Like when you chant, for instance, there is a very fine border when you're still focused, and I mean there's a time when you're focused, and then you're not focused any longer, and there's a fine border between the two. It's almost as fine as the as the border between wakefulness and sleep. You know, you lay down, and when are you exactly transitioning from one state of consciousness to the other, or not consciousness, awareness to another? It's very difficult to say. I would say whenever you catch yourself, you know, there are witch hunters, there are scandal hunters, there are butterfly hunters. You should become a bad thought hunter, and catch it, and then replace it. And this is a transforming thing. It is transformation in the real sense of the word. You take one thing and bring it into another state by maintaining the energy, the same energy. And Keshava Maharaj told us, there is a fear. There is when you are asked to do a public speaking, when you are not so accustomed and you don't do it so regularly, you are generally a little bit afraid of it. And before public speaking, what happens is that you come. That there is some energy or adrenaline rising. Now, if your mind is going in the direction, oh, I will fail, I will say the wrong word, I will stutter, I will use a wrong sequence of logic, then you will fail. But if you use that same energy, chemically you will call it adrenaline, there is psychologically you would call it another word, which I don't know at this moment, use the same energy, I can really do increase my, you know, I can really do something good with my public speaking. Then the same energy will go zip, the other path. It's the same energy, but you have transformed it. I have a personal story to tell, because we used to have these large concerts. I think some of you have seen on these Gauranga Bhajan group concerts, and they were sometimes for one, there were like 12,000 people before the curtain, and I was behind the curtain, and I looked at the. So many people are before the curtain. And like all of you, I have an issue with sometimes being not confident in my abilities. I think I'm really not something special, and so on. And I'm, then I said to him, I have two options now. I can call the Graveyard Institute, and they can bring me to the graveyard, or I can just jump out there and just say, I'm so happy that you're there, I'm a little nervous, please excuse me, wouldn't you be nervous to talk before so many people, and then to take off from there, you know, and then it comes out very nice. So it's the same energy, and you have to catch it and then direct it. Pratibhaksha, pratibhaksha. The word, the complete word is bhavana, not, then you have the bhavana, there should be an N-A. And then you have the super good sounds good. Ba N A. So you can, and you know how you can make the switch. Listen, everyone. It's the last thing that you will hear today from the presentations. You can either believe everything is dependent on your own steam, on your own qualities, on your intelligence, or you can believe that Krishna is the controller. Have you heard this word, Krishna is the controller? Is it true only in the books or in life as well? It is. Let's theoretically believe it. No, Krishna is the controller. And then Prabhupada always used to say, Krishna can perform anything. His Jiva Goswami said, he is to be praised because of his wonderful activities. And when you give your life in his hand and you surrender to him, then yes, he might use you. It's still up to him, but you have a chance, a good chance. So to get out of the controller mood and to enter the surrendered mood, that will help you to change drastically your whole outlook to life. Good. Thank you very much. I would like to respect your time. We will just do a short kirtan and then we will end 15 minutes earlier. Then we have more time. Do we have something else? Hare. Oh yeah, please sit properly. This belongs still to the cause, so to say. Oh, now we sing again. We did this already. No. Today we will sing a song which we have never sung before. It's called Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, with full attention and deep absorption. No, the idea is let the mantra come into your mind. In other words, you receive the mantra. And the second thing is, gets a little bit more advanced now, and bring the mind into the mantra. In other words, it is full, it's mutual pervasion. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Dhyanachandra Goswami instructs in his Padati that these two functions create an equilibrium in the mind, where the mind is balanced and is totally present. The first function is to focus the mind on the mantra, and the second function, which you do afterwards, is you allow the mantra to flow into the mind, and you are either focusing or you are receiving until the two functions become what is called samatha, and it becomes equalized, and you are in an almost deeply absorbed state. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time. Hare Krishna. Prabhupadat, Prabhupadat, Srila Prabhupadat. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Radha Shama Sunda, Radha Shama Sunda, Radha Shama Sunda, Radhe. There's a homework for you. So during this ongoing seminar, today and tomorrow, kindly practice this pratipaksha bhavana, the opposite thinking. If you find yourself overwhelmed or even harassed by, I would say, weak thoughts even, try to replace them with opposite thoughts, which will give you sufficient strength. And preferably, if you want to add, you know, if you want to put to this exercise the absolute spiritual bhakti dimension, think about Krishna. Krishna is here. Krishna is in all the interactions. Try to carve out of the hardwood of your life the beautiful smiling face of Krishna. What could Krishna, why could Krishna have arranged this for you? What would please Krishna if you would learn in this situation to replace another thought and another behavior? It will be a really exciting exercise, I promise you. Good, so Hare Krishna.